What is this? Oh man! I did it again.
But.
Will somebody please press start?
Conference is being recorded.
Success.
Okay.
I'm shy. I'm not going to talk anymore now.
I got it.
So.
This is tough all night.
We are gathered here today to join ourselves together in holy conversation concerning what were the two topics?
The sacraments.
And worship.
And worship.
Sacraments and worship.
Although it sounds like we're going into a funeral with that opening.
Yeah. Oh, a wedding.
They're kind of similar.
By the way, Tim, the class is hard, man. Because he does, like, I'm taking the Bachelor series.
Yeah.
And
this was a whole nother level.
Yeah, he goes through 9 classes, but the questions are all together, so you don't know. It's wild. So you got to go over the same questions through 9 classes.
Yep.
Yeah, or like, you know, there's different ones. But I'm saying like the pseudo versus whatever. There's 9 classes on pseudo, and I've been through all 9 classes, and I still got questions that didn't get answered, so I got to go back.
Make sure you make good use of that Word document, because you will find that sometimes if you key on keywords and searches, you'll find it.
Yeah, I try to do that too, but I'm doing it in the car, so I don't really I have to get my laptop with me, I guess. All right, well, let's get started. We'll skip topic 1, because that was Jason, and so I'm sure he had a lot of things to say about that. And maybe he will join us. If not, we'll have an opportunity to comment on that later. And let's skip down to worship, which is topic 2, which was submitted by Gracie. So we'll let her start. You proposed a series of questions, Gracie.
Mm-hmm.
How about what worship means to us was the first question. Why don't we just start there?
Okay. Well, as you guys know, I'm a worship singer in a church, and I've been doing it for about 10 years, but I also have been a worship leader for church and also for Women's Aglow at times. And part of my responsibility is not to lead so much as it is to usher people into the presence of God. So the congregation is not supposed to watch me. They're supposed to be focusing in on the Lord, and I just kind of help lead them to that place where they're just pretty much just worshiping God and everything. And, you know, worship is so much more than just singing, and you know, it has to do with just how we live our lives and how we honor Him. But I tend to look a lot at the singing part of it because I sing. And worship is just giving everything you have to the Lord, giving Him reverence that's due His name, just giving Him the adoration, the admiration that He's supposed to have. One of the things I've noticed as a worship leader is a lot of times in church service, I'll see people coming in after the first and second song, and they're just talking to each other, and they're just not caught up at all. It's almost like a sing-along, and that's probably a big, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves, because they're not really understanding that what we're trying to do. We're trying to worship the Lord and in song and give Him the praise that's really due His name. No matter what we're going through, whatever our struggle is in our lives and what we're encountering here, He's still worthy to be lifted up. And so I guess, you know, if I really just wanted to narrow it down and what it really means to worship, it's really giving our whole lives over to Him and as, you know, as much as we possibly can. And part of that is, you know, when you're in church on Sunday, or even throughout the week, you're just singing, and you're not singing to a campfire sing-along. You're singing to Him, and the words that are on the screen are prayers. from your heart and you really mean them. So if you don't mean them, you shouldn't sing it because you're not telling the truth. So that's just how I feel about worship.
Well, with that and everybody, like, try to keep this to the first question. I think that was a great first response. Without getting into the other, like, the responses to the other questions, what does worship mean to you? Luke?
Well, I've played in worship teams for a number of years. To me, personally, worship is, the way that I see it, it's, or the way I look at what worship or a worship team does is they're actually a lead, they're leaders into a battle, where if you, go back through history, there was always musicians that went before soldiers, and they sung and they played music, as a, I'm trying to think of the word, but I can't think of it. It's like a prelude to actually a war. So I actually view worship as almost a spiritual warfare, but on a different sense. I believe it's very powerful in, well, it ushers in the presence of God because it's, it says that, I've forgotten, great. It says that God, like, inhabits the praises of his people. So to me, it's a sense of, it's basically a doorway to allowing the kingdom of God into not only our own lives, but into this world. I also, I guess it's almost exactly opposite that in some senses, that I see it as a love affair with God when I worship. I see it as a love affair with him. It's singing to him, it's telling him that you love him. It's just like having a communion with him. But at the same time, I don't restrict worship to the actual, so much of always, there's not a formula to it. There isn't a formula to the way that you do it. It doesn't have to be with music. It doesn't have to be, with instruments. It doesn't have to be a song that you know. It's just what comes out of your heart, in telling him that you love him. But it is nice when it is actually in musical form because he created music. He created us to worship him, so it all sort of fits together. I see it in both those lights. One, that it's a precursor to a spiritual battle, and two, that it's just being in love with him. So, yeah.
Cool.
How I see it. Very plain.
Very good.
Mm.
Well, Tim, I'll take the next one, and we'll say Tim, because I don't want to go last. I want to end on a high note.
No pressure.
Well, I'm going to speak from a purely layman standpoint, because I have never been a part of a worship team, per se, in any type of formal way. I've sung in choirs before when I was a kid, but not recently, and not in a really in a worship way, more of in a performance way. So I'm also, speaking of that, I'm also sort of new to worship. To the idea, to really what, he just opened my eyes in the last few years to what worship means, and or even the concept of worship, really, because all my life I've been in a church that was not really focused on worship, and the choir sang at you, and there was special music that sort of sang at you, and I'm sure there were people who were worshiping. I'm sure that through those hymns and through those things that people were worshiping, but I wasn't. And I could not get past the what I call the King James Version of music, the the these and the thous and the music that lended itself more to the songs that lended themselves more to old time religion than it did to anything personal in me, and so. It's just been the last couple of years that I've really tried to understand how to worship and what worship is. And what he's shown me, our church started a real, a contemporary worship service, something that is real to me. And at the same time, I learned that I could, through that experience, because it's like, I guess it's like trying to see red if you've never seen red before. Until you see pure red, or until you see a red that really clicks with you, you can't see red in pink, you can't see red in purple, you can't see red in other colors that have red in them. So it was only through that experience of sort of really getting into a contemporary worship service and being able to connect with that, I don't say emotion, but experience of worship, of turning myself completely over physically to worship, that I was able to do so with the hymns. It was through that experience that I could see worship in the hymns, and it was through that experience I could see worship even in listening to a sermon or when somebody was praying. So, I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's what worship means to me. That's been my kind of limited experience with it.
Cool.
I think you're up.
Yeah, I left my mute button there. Sorry.
It's all right.
No, I've experienced this from both sides and from different aspects. And I will say that I haven't heard a word that I disagree with from anybody yet. Worship is a very encompassing thing. But I have found, for myself personally, worship is an act of sacrifice. It's the act of bringing yourself lower, or removing yourself more, and inviting God in to fill you more, to replace you. And as a worship leader, what you're hoping is that by being up front and leading this, as you empty yourself out and bring God in, others will be able to take that example and do it along with you. A corporate worship environment can be one of the most beautiful things when everybody is allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and have his way, and everybody can, we don't go for the experience, the feel experience, because we don't always get that, but when sometimes you do, and it can be a really, really beautiful thing when everybody's in the same groove. Sorry. When they're all in the simpatico and doing the same thing. But worship is really an act of sacrifice, whether you are sitting at home reading the Word and just taking that time to tell Jesus how much you love him and just kind of emptying yourself out a little bit and trying to get just that much more of God. Or if you're in a corporate environment like a church where you've got a group of several hundred people around you and you're singing praises and worship songs, or if you are just taking that, you can do it anywhere. It's all a matter of opening yourself up to the Lord and the Spirit. And I just think that it's an act of, I think it encompasses everything I've heard so far, plus it's an act of sacrifice of getting out of the way.
That's fantastic. I completely agree. I think there's so, wow, I don't know what to say to that. I mean, I agree completely with what everybody said, and just amen. And the sacrifice part, I was thinking about, we bring the sacrifice of praise, and how I just recently understood that too, so anyway.
I had to say something too, as a worship leader who's done traditional and modern worship. You said something about not really understanding the worship in some of the older music, the hymns and stuff like that, until you really had experienced worship. And I can tell you, I've gone through the exact same thing growing up in the church that wasn't a real powerful church or didn't move heavily in the Holy Spirit. Singing the hymns was just a rote thing we did every week. But experiencing true worship and then being able to go back to some of that music, and imagine the revelation that this is some really fabulous music, because it's scripture-based, it's highly, you know, theologically accurate words and lyrics, and it can be, I think, one of the most living experiences I've ever had was singing Holy, Holy, Holy in an auditorium with 35,000 men during one of the Promise Keepers events. I after the first verse, I couldn't sing anymore. I was just flooded with tears because it moved me so much.
That's the problem, though, I think, with worship, too, is that it tends to be so emotional sometimes that we get caught up in trying to strive for an emotion versus an experience.
Right.
Well, see, and that's what I was trying to say earlier, is we don't strive for that. It comes sometimes,
yeah.
And it can
be
a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And it's not wrong to have it. It's wrong to go after the experience when what you really should be focusing on is God and Jesus and trying to bring more of him to you.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. But it takes some maturity to understand that, I think. I think that some people judge worship based on their emotional experience with it or their emotional response to it.
Right. People will say, oh, I didn't feel God's presence today when I was in worship. Well, God didn't go anywhere. He was right there. You know, people get so caught up. And what we tend to forget is that it's not about us. We're not going there to get that feeling. And yet, I think we really go in there kind of sort of expecting to, because if we don't feel that, you know, feeling inside or the tears come, then we're thinking, oh, gosh, no, God didn't move in me, and he wasn't there. He didn't touch me. You know, and that's just not true at all. You know, God is with people that are just worshiping and singing, and there's not a tear falling from their face as they are to the next person next to us who is on their knees and is feeling that. It's just a matter of how God wants to move in that person at that time. And I wanted to just say, I totally agree with you guys talking about how when you get the experience of full worship and praise and worship, and then going back to the hymns, it's absolutely positively true. I used to go to Baptist churches, and I used to get really bored with the hymns, and, okay, we're going to sing the second and third stanza, and I just couldn't stand it. But, you know, when I started singing on the worship team, we took a couple of hymns, and we kind of jazzed them up a little bit, like Victory in Jesus, and What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And, you know, I really listened to the words at that point. I had to learn them, but I really listened to it. And then when I was able to go back, when I go to my in-law's church and go, wow, you know, that's a good song. And it's really been a blessing. A lot of people criticize the praise and worship these days, especially older people will criticize it, saying, oh, it's just too upbeat. There's too much of a beat to it and whatever. But you know what? It really is able to bring you back to the appreciation for what was written hundreds of years ago by people that were really faithful people. And there's a lot of history to how these stories, these hymns were written. So absolutely true.
First of all, since there's so few of us, I think we can all stay off mute and sort of add our amens as we go.
Amen.
Amen.
And secondly, if we need it, I just want to let you know, Tim, you're not online anymore for some reason. You're not on my thing there.
Yeah, he disappeared. Look at that.
Yeah, he disappeared.
Come back, Tim.
It doesn't
come back, Tim.
And walk towards the light, Tim.
No, away from the light.
You should see what happens when he gets wet.
Okay, let's go to the second question on worship, which was about raising your hands and also getting lost in his presence. Now, are those two absolutely connected, or is there... is there something else? And if you don't mind, I'll start off this one because I have a feeling it's going to get over my head real quick. But I was one of these people who never raised my hand because I felt like those people who were raising their hands were only calling attention to themselves, and that's not what I wanted to do, not what worship was about. And I was raised to be reverent, and that wasn't the reverent thing to do. Yes, I was raised in a very staunch Baptist church. But it wasn't until I went to a Chris Tomlin concert that he actually put on the screen the scripture that says raise your hands in worship or raise your hands in praise. I forget what it exactly says. But And then, you know, everybody did. And being part of that experience, like I talked about before, being part of that experience helped me to understand what it was all about, what raising your hands was all about, and how surrendering your body physically just one more way made all the difference in the world. And now I sit down at the front of my church, and I've, even in the contemporary service, you're a little more free to raise your hand and stuff, but there's still very few people who do it. And so we sit down way front and in the church so that when I raise my hand, I don't see anybody else not raising their hand. So, you know, I can raise my hand and not worry about what everybody else is doing or thinking. And but I keep my eyes closed most of the time anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I don't know that I haven't experienced any connection between raising my hands and being lost in his presence. It just seems my hand ends up in the air. I don't actually do it. You know, it's not a conscious thing that I do. Just like closing my eyes while I'm worshiping, it's not something I have to do consciously. It's just less distracting to look at other people or the thing, the decorations of the church, than it is just to close my eyes and focus on him. What do y'all think? Whoever wants to go next.
I think if you're doing it because you see other people doing it, or because you think this is what's expected, or you think this is what you're supposed to do, you might as well put your hands in your pocket, because you're not doing anything. Raising of the hands is not something that we look at and go, oh, now look, there is a religious person who's truly in the spirit, their hands are in the air, blah, blah, blah. To my experience, my hands go in the air in one of two occasions. And one of them is when I'm led to it. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even know they're doing it. And so I kind of look up and go, oh, look, my hands are up there again.
Yeah.
You know, it's just happened. But there are times when I consciously am trying to help myself do that sacrifice thing that I was talking about before. And so I lift my hands almost as a surrender. I'm putting my hands up and going, Lord, you know, here I am. Come fill me. You know, well, one person described it as, I put my hands up so that I can funnel more of God to me. I kind of laughed at that one personally, but, you know, I mean, if that works for them, it's okay. The idea of it is not because, you're right, you know, if it's a show, put your hands in your pockets. Let the Lord work for you how the Lord works for you. I know people who are very, very devout and love Jesus with their whole heart and their whole passion. They just can't put their hands up in the air for anything, and they're conflicted about it. I'm like, relax. God's not looking at you with an open hand. He raised his hands. He didn't raise his hands. It's not one of these deals, okay? It's how are you feeling led, and what are you? And if you do it because you're purposefully doing it, what's your motivation? Because God looks at your heart. I put my hands up in the air sometimes because, Lord, here I am. I put my hands up just kind of. To show myself that I'm giving up more of myself and reaching for God. I'm really looking to touch the Lord, to have Him touch me.
And there you have it. Join us next time for Grace Junkies. There's only one more thing to add. As deep or as complicated as these conversations can get, I would like to remind everyone that the Christian life is as simple as a relationship with the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We at Grace Junkies may disagree on individual points, but we love each other. And we hope that you have a relationship with the Lord because He loves you. Thank you for joining us.
You looking forward to the next Grace Junkies coming live from the Two Blind Squirrels website, My Life Ministries. The Wolfman Jack be coming right back at you now, ladies and gentlemen. But don't worry, because the Lord is still looking down on you all.
Okay, Charlie, you need to turn down the oxygen level on your tank there.
Oh,
I
gotta put it back.
So what is this, Brad? Once every 2 weeks? This was fun. Can't we do it, like, tomorrow?
I would love to, but we'd have to get permission from all the wives, and I don't think that's going to be possible. No, we will be back. Hopefully, we'll see how long it takes to get these shows out, and then we'll schedule another one.
Sounds great.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, appreciate it. It's been wonderful.
I'm not going to say a word here.